Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
A very warm welcome to the Evening Show podcast. I am Gordon Smart, and this week, for 1 week only, the gorgeous, pouting, fragrant, mini-skirted, glamorous assistant producer Joe.
Hello, mate.
Joe, your voice is like manuka honey, my man.
It's odd, isn't it? Because I'm not on Smart on Sunday, but I'm on the podcast. And for the real diehard fans, they'll know that usually the two go hand in hand.
Well, you've confused me. I just don't know what day of the week it is, Joe.
I just popped in.
I just don't
popped
know what
in,
it's...
didn't I?
Tell you what, Joseph, we have got a really busy Evening Show podcast this week. What a wonderful addition. Completely out of the blue, Jack White decided to pop in at the studio and have a bit of a chin wag this week. So that is in the Evening Show podcast. What a great man, brilliant musician, played some special gigs in London this week, but he gave us some time, which I thought was incredible. We also explore the relationship between Muse and Royal Blood. How did Muse... I know, Joe, you love Muse, don't you? You like a bit of loud rocking.
Both bands, they play the right notes for me.
Well, we can prove the relationship between the two of them and the inspiration maybe Royal Blood took from Muse. Not only that, on Monday night, we had a classic album chat, one of the best albums of my entire lifetime, one that I've listened to more than anything else, definitely maybe, and Oasis. You cannot say fairer than that. A jam-packed Evening Show podcast, and Joe will even come around and personally delivered it to your house. Is that right, Joe, or have I misunderstood?
There is definitely an asterisk at the end of that promise.
I'm really sorry, Joe can't make it. He's incredibly busy. Thank you very much for listening to Evening Show podcast.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Totally unexpected. A music legend has arrived this evening for a bit of a chat. Jack White. Jack, thanks for popping in.
Thank you for having me.
It's very kind of you. We gave away tickets for one of your shows last night.
Great.
You've caused a bit of trouble, though, because the guy who won the tickets didn't invite his wife. He invited a friend.
Ouch.
That's on you, Jack White.
Uh-oh. I gotta go fix that.
So you're playing the garage tomorrow, Jack. And we were weirdly talking about you on the show tonight before you came in. And one of the most unusual gigs you played was for the Chelsea Pensioners.
That's right.
Yeah, the Royal Chelsea.
That was wonderful.
Never mind the great gigs, Jack. Yes. Could you give some encouragement to young bands coming through and maybe fill us in on a show that went disastrously wrong?
Oh, man. I gotta say, thinking that would be... It would be when I twisted my ankle on this last Lazaretto album tour that we did. And it was just standing... I didn't do anything weird. I just stood and my one foot just went a little bit sideways, just like that. And it just turned into a giant softball, purple, you know, swollen thing that... Basically, I should have canceled the rest of the tour.
Yeah.
I walked in and then somehow the Oakland A's baseball team, if anyone knows them over here, somehow I got into their work with their physical therapist, and he treated me and he put me in this ice machine that was like sticking your foot in Antarctica.
Yeah, yeah.
Like going through a wormhole, and it was so horrible. But he was trying to repair it as quickly as possible and get it back into its zone. And I didn't cancel the tour. I kept the tour going. And so that rest of the tour was an excruciating pain.
Did you have a throne like Dave Grohl? Come out on a big throne.
Yeah, yeah. That was a good idea. I didn't do the throne. I just kept going. Just making it worse and worse.
Now, Jack, tomorrow night you're playing the garage in London. 600 people. So you will see the whites of people's eyes.
Yes.
How often do you get a chance to do those kind of gigs now? Because I imagine most of it seems to be a little bit more impersonal when you're playing huge stadiums and arenas.
Yeah, I really love it the most. And what's nice is... you know, we have Third Man Records, my label in Nashville, and in Detroit now. We have two locations. So we have a live venue in both those places. It's about 300-350 people in both those places. And it's really great. We played our first three shows with this new band there, which is nice. It's a perfect place to start. We're rehearsing around there, and we can just invite people in and play. And we can get our feet wet without going out there and starting at an arena show or something like that. So it's great. And the energy, the band got together really fast that way. And I love that. I love the smaller shows the best.
Yeah. A question I've always wanted to ask you, Jack, is how much of your music comes from you sitting down and actually writing a song, and how much of it comes from you surrounded by musicians in a place like Nashville just jamming?
Yeah, a lot of it starts from me by myself. Yeah,
yeah.
It's sort of like you sit and you walk around and you sit down at the piano and you find yourself just doing it. You know, that can happen a lot. I try to not write unless I actually have something to write for. I try to save that energy, because I would just be doing it every day all day long, and it would just consume me like a madman. So I try to be a good boy about that.
Now, Jack, I could ask you questions all night. I know we've only got you for 5 minutes, so I've got to ask you a really lowbrow, slightly stupid question about a book I'm writing called Slash Gordon. Now, in your career, your long career as a musician, you must have found yourself having an awkward conversation with somebody else famous in the bathroom. Is there one that you'd like to share with us that I can add to the book?
Oh, man, I don't know if I've ever been in a bathroom with someone famous. I have been in a bathroom where fans have followed me in and stood at the urinal next to me, which immediately has made me leave.
It's a difficult dynamic.
That has happened
isn't it?
Many times.
No, it's not good.
But I don't think I've ever been in a bathroom.
What about fellow musicians in the band? You must have.
Great question. I can't recall anything. I wish I could give you a good one. Well, I mean, I can make one up for
you. Well, you can listen, Jack. Feel free to wax lyrical and we'll cut that little bit out.
It was me and The Rock, you know, the wrestler. And
Formidable Company.
He got mad about something that was going on in his zone and he just ripped the urinal out of the wall and threw it over my head.
That'll do us very nicely.
How's that?
Well, maybe you could bump into John Kennedy, our resident music expert here at Radio X later on, and that'd be a story for
sure,
us to tell.
Yeah, sure.
Now, Jack, we want to talk about the new single, right? Because we played it on the show last night, and it's brilliantly mental, is how I would describe it as a Scotsman. It just gets more and more wild as the song goes on. Is that the beauty of sort of 20 years as a musician, where you don't have a producer saying, Jack, maybe don't do that. You're the boss. You're in charge.
Oh, yeah. I have a whole career full of maybe you shouldn't do that moments in the studio.
Has there been a Spinal Tap moment is the question I'm asking, where somebody said, no, Jack, we're not having a train on this tour.
We've had a lot. I found that the things that you do that are wild ideas, if you try to plan them ahead of time, they will get shot down and people will come in and say it's not going to work. We did a tour of Canada one time where every morning at breakfast I made up an idea of let's play on a bus today. Yeah. Let's play a one-note concert today. And every time we had an idea, it would quickly work out. If you gave people no time to think about it,
yeah,
it would work out perfectly. But if you said next week we want to play at a bowling alley and you know something like that, it would fall apart.
Yeah.
People would tell other people, there'd be a huge crowd waiting there. The microphones won't work.
Yeah, yeah.
They had to shut it down or whatever. But it's the quickness with which you do it. It makes it work.
Which is phenomenal to have you back as well. Great to see you in London.
Thank you.
Thanks for popping in.
Glad to be here, man.
One last very quick question.
Yeah.
Do you have much time to enjoy yourself when you come over? Is it all work and business?
Absolutely not. I, as a rule, do not enjoy myself.
All right. Well, can I try and disrupt that and invite you for a drink after?
Please.
Good man. We will do that.
I can't go.
All right, Jack. White, that's the worst snub ever. Right. Here is the new single, Over and Over and Over. This is outstanding. Jack White on Radio X. Get your ears around this.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm about to talk you through the sound of one of my favourite bands here at Radio X. I'm about to explore the influences of Royal Blood. Mike Kerr and Ben Thatcher are two of my favourite people in music right now. They are absolutely bona fide grade A rock stars, weapons-grade noise-making men from Worthing. Two superb albums in the bag and a real experience live, sounding bigger and bolder than you would ever imagine a two-piece could. And whilst their sound is very much their own, they often remind me of one of Britain's other great bands, Muse. Muse are another act that don't follow the traditional band structure. As a three-piece, they can be more symphonic than an orchestra. That big melodic sound might not remind you of Royal Blood, but I think there are similarities. Check out Assassin from Black Holes and Revelations. Matt, Dom and Chris from Muse are all incredible music talents, just like Ben and Mike from Royal Blood. Listen to the Muse boys go here. It's really taking off, right? And wait for the drums. Wow, and those amazing skills on the pots and pans remind me a lot of Royal Blood's unbelievable drummer, Ben Thatcher. That's Lights Out. Let's hear that again. So both Muse and Royal Blood push those musical talents to their extremes. Here's some information you probably didn't know. As a former juggling unicyclist, and that is true, by the way, Mike Kerr knows a little something about coordination. You could say the same about Matt Bellamy too. The biggest similarity, though, is how both bands really go to town when they end their songs. Here's Muse with a crescendo in Hysteria. And here's Royal Blood taking a dip in the same pool. Here they are, live, blasting the roof off the Radio X session studio. I think the comparison's pretty clear. That is serious stuff. Amazing.
Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Here's some really good news. Should spark a bit of a mad rush though, and I'll be involved as well. Subscription service Vinyl Me Please is releasing a limited edition deluxe vinyl copy of Whatever People Say I Am, That's What I'm Not next month. Apparently it never came out in vinyl. The album has been pressed in 180g smoke coloured vinyl, which carries on the theme of the smoking from the sleeve's famous cover shot. The record also comes with a 16-page booklet and an art print, so you get value for your money. To be in with a chance of getting a copy though, you'll need to have signed up with Vinyl Me Please by the 15th of April, so I know exactly what I'll be into doing later on tonight. Really fancy having a copy of that.
Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
Look forward to this every Monday night. We delve a little bit deeper into an album we love here at Radio X. Make sure you have a look back through the Evening Show podcast. There are loads of great album chats in there. Tonight, a very special one for me as well. Oasis, definitely maybe. The 29th of August, 1994, which is nearly 24 years ago. Still can't believe that. It went straight to number one. Of course it did. Has gone platinum 7 times and was the UK's fastest selling debut album of all time. It was recorded all across the UK, Manchester, Cornwall and Liverpool, and it was finally mixed in London. The band had recorded it in Monmouth, but the sessions didn't really come out as they planned. If you've seen the Supersonic documentary, you'll know what I'm talking about. It sounded really, really weird before a great man called Owen Morris got his hands on it. So Noel kept on adding to it, giving it that thick, fuzzy, distorted sound, and Bonehead explained that he said Noel's favourite trick was getting drums, bass and rhythm all down, then he'd absolutely cane it. Less is more didn't really work back then. Even then, the label weren't happy, and as I say, Owen Morris came in, mixed the whole album again, and he gave it this massive, massive noise. A lot messier than you'd expect. There's a bit of delay on the drums, which covered up some naughty Tony McCarroll mistakes. Also, the bass was put through some pedals, which hid some more mistakes. But Owen Morris is still regarded as the man who saved the album at the time. Now, we all know it's an iconic Oasis album, right? Iconic British album. An album that represents Britpop and the 90s, but it's also important as a big response to grunge at the time. You think it was a lot about shoegaze and a bit of Nirvana around at the time. And it was massively optimistic, tearaway rock album, all about hedonism and enjoying yourself, feeling confident. I remember it so well, going to Irvine Beach and Loch Lomond, and just thinking, I can't keep up with being a teenager. What on earth is this? Just blew my mind. Creation Records didn't really have much of a budget to support it at the time, so they used some unusual methods. They put ads in football mags, match programs, UK dance music mags, a really clever way to market it. The album at the time got 5 stars from pretty much everyone, and there's a brilliant review in NME. A guy called Keith Cameron called Noel Gallagher a pop craftsman in the classic tradition and a master of his trade. And there's this brilliant, brilliant quote. The only equivocal thing about Definitely Maybe is its title. Everything else screams certainty. It's like opening your bedroom curtains one morning and discovering that someone's built the Taj Mahal in your back garden. Then they filled it with your favourite flavour of Angel Delight. It's that good. And here's a little exclusive Radio X for you. Radio X fact for you about the album. Liam Gallagher was arguing with Noel about a writing credit on Columbia. Never got it in the end, and that inspired his solo single, Greedy Soul. There you are. So here's 2 songs back to back from that classic album. Definitely Maybe, 1994. Shaker Maker, followed by the world-class Supersonic.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X. Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
Taking you back to the 29th of August 1994, when Definitely Maybe came out nearly 24 years ago. You just heard Supersonic, one of Noel's favourite Oasis songs, written and recorded in a day, and Noel wrote it whilst the rest of the band were eating a Chinese takeaway. Before that, played Shaker Maker. The video featured the band playing football in a field in Burnage. Loads of nostalgia about the Gallagher's upbringing. Mr. Sifter's got a mention, that was the record shop where they used to buy their stuff. And here's a little bit of extra information. They used to live round the corner from Alex Higgins, the hell-raising snooker world champion. And he used to show up on tour for Definitely Maybe, offering to play snooker against all their friends backstage. Even tried to take along a snooker table at one point, so I believe. The photograph on the front cover of the album was taken by Michael Spencer Jones. What a picture it is. Bonehead's house, inspired by the cover of the Beatles' 1966 compilation, a collection of Beatles oldies. The television shown a scene from The Good, the Bad and the Ugly, and a fistful of dollars is on the television on the back cover. picture of Rodney Marsh playing for Man City propped up against the fireplace, and there's a poster of Burt Bacharach leaning against the side of the sofa just to Noel's right hand side, as well as a 20 deck of Benson and Hedges, which also provided the case for their B-sides released around that time as well. Noel said that Rock and Roll Star was one of the three songs in which he wanted to say something. Pretty much summed up everything I wanted to say in Rock and Roll Star, Live Forever and Cigarettes and Alcohol. After that, I'm repeating myself, but in a different way. That's what Noel had to say about it. And he said as well that he wrote Slide Away in a Les Paul that Johnny Marr had sent him, because he only had a few guitars available at the time. So he took Johnny's guitar out the case, sat down, and the song wrote itself. How about that? What a classic album that was. And an emotional little trip down memory lane.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, not sure if you caught it this week, but Brandon Flowers had an unexpected guest surprise him on stage at Lollapalooza in Brazil. It's very funny. Liam Gallagher gave Brandon the fright of his life when he bowled on stage unannounced. So the Killers were finishing their headline set when it happened. Brandon jumped. Might have had something to do with the orange Guantanamo Bay jacket Liam was wearing, right enough. But before that, he just turned around and said, "Oh, effing Liam Gallagher." That was the more sensible way of saying what he really said. They bowed down on stage to each other, and then the Killers burst into a cover of Oasis's Gas Panic. The reason for it was because a couple of weeks ago in Chile, the Killers had to cover Wonderwall because Liam was forced to pull out, had some trouble with his voice. So this was Liam repaying the compliment. But this is the clip of the Killers doing a bit of Wonderwall.
Today is going to be the day that they're going to throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you got to do. I believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
How about that, eh? Brandon Flowers from the Killers covering Wonderwall. Sounds pretty good. So addressing the crowds during the set, Flowers said, "We heard you missed out on a couple of songs today that you wanted to hear. Liam Gallagher is my king. He is one of my kings. This is no way to disparage anything that he did. He's got problems today, but any night that Wonderwall is being sung by a lot of people is a good thing."
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and for 1 week only, producer Joe.
Thank you so much.
Oh, that was beautifully done. If you enjoy that, please leave a little review, and I'll be back with another edition in a couple of weeks' time, because I've got a week off where I'm going to go off and radically change my entire outlook in life and come back a new man.
Bye, mate. Drive careful.
Thanks, Joseph. See you all later.
Radio X.